And currently, temperatures in the 30s, well, at least in parts of our listening area, 31 in Lynchburg, 32 in Bedford. Now, in Danville, Southside's chilly, 26 degrees, 38 in Salem, 36 in Roanoke. Hmm. So we've got several updates on some entertainment news, more details coming out about the death of Bob Saget.
Right.
They're saying that they believe he died in his sleep, had a heart attack, died peacefully in mm-hmm. his sleep. That seems to be the general report. Of course, they will continue to do.
I think so. 3 months.
Right. To get that back. He had spoken to his wife, you know, just before he went to bed, mm-hmm. had done some things online talking about how excited he was to be back mm-hmm. on the stage again. But it just seems that he had a massive coronary episode in his sleep. But they're not thinking that that he suffered. So I guess that's a good thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A love affair gone awry in Hollywood. Not that that's unusual, but Aquaman, Jason Momoa, and Lisa Bonet have split after being married for 5 years. They've been together 16.
Mm.
And they announced it on Instagram in a joint written statement. Says, "We have all felt the squeeze and changes of these transformational times. A revolution is unfolding, and our family is of no exception. Feeling and growing from the systemic shifts occurring," read a statement. "And so we share our family news," and said they are parting ways in marriage. The two added that they were announcing the news not because it's newsworthy, but because they would like to move on with dignity and honesty. "The love between us carries on, evolving in ways it wishes to be known and lived. We free each other to be who we are learning to become. Our devotion unwavering to this sacred
life and
our children."
Is this a news story or poetry?
I don't know.
I mean, really?
I don't know. They concluded, "Teaching our children what's possible, living the prayer, may love prevail."
Hey, it's better than getting a tweet or a text saying, "We're done."
Right.
And there's no explanation.
"I hate you."
Right.
"You hate me." We all hate each other.
Sad face emoji. Next to the poop emoji.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of poop emoji.
Oh, geez.
So
sorry.
It would seem that we have a memoir coming out.
Okay.
Of who? Well, who do you think?
I don't know.
Hunter's ex is telling all.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope.
Jeez.
Hunter Biden's ex-wife talking about his addiction and their divorce for the first time in an upcoming memoir.
Well, see, now that'll sell some books.
Yeah, it will.
That'll sell some books. People want to know.
She is opening up for the first time about the demise of their 24-year marriage, which is sad.
Well, I got to tell you, she better hurry up and strike while the iron's hot, because Joe may not be around by the end of the year. Nobody's going to care about Hunter at that
point. See, here's the thing, though. This could, you know, depending on how this plays out.
Right.
This could almost make, you know, he's really good at turning things around and making himself look like a victim, like he's getting beat up. The name of the memoir is If We Break, a Memoir of Marriage. It's scheduled to be released in June, and it will cover Biden's addiction, infidelity, and her life after their marriage.
I'm seeing Diane Sawyer coming out of retirement for this one.
Oh, Lord.
Why not? Hey, they did the whole, or Oprah should do it. Let's let Oprah do it, because she did, you know, Prince What's-His-Face.
No, you can't let
Prince
Oprah
Harry.
Do it. No, because then.
She did Adele's whole big special in between all those songs. "So what was it like to lose 100 pounds and then lose an additional 180 when you shot him and got rid of your ex?"
Stop. Maybe you should do the interview. Of course, she alleged in their divorce that Biden spent their money on drugs, prostitutes, alcohol, and strip clubs.
Hey, that aligns with everything we know about Hunter.
Right. And now he's selling crappy paintings for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. He used to snort with that glass straw. Now he blows paint through it.
Well, does he? Does he still not do that? I don't know. She said the book was healing for her. She hopes it'll be helpful for others. She talked candidly about about his addiction, and as has he.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote about drinking a quart of vodka a day.
Gee.
And living with a homeless woman who was his dealer.
He has really been some places, hasn't he?
He has.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. He says he believes his addiction problems were connected to the trauma from the deadly car crash that killed his sister and his mother.
Okay.
I mean,
his dad really love playing that card, don't they?
They are fantastic at doing that.
Gosh. That is so pitiful.
I'm sure he's not thrilled that this is that this is coming out for sure.
Maybe he'll paint a song. Here's what we do. You know how you take art, two forms of art. You have an Elton John song playing in the background, and the visual for this song, sad love songs that hurt so much. He could do one of his paintings live. And then we can auction it on PBS.
No.
No? You don't see it happening?
I'm not buying it.
Well, I know you won't buy it. You don't have $1 billion to spend unless you're holding that on me. Well, I mean, I want to make that coffee you're buying this morning a large.
You'll never know. You just never know. There is a new lawsuit coming out.
Okay.
The Rust Armorer is suing the supplier.
Rust, the movie.
The movie Rust.
Yeah, with Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. They have opened up a civil suit, and it was that came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. Hannah Reed, in a complaint filed in a New Mexico court against Rust Armorer Seth Kinney and his Albuquerque-based PDQ Arm and Prop Company.
Wait a minute. I see a problem already. PDQ means pretty damn quick. I don't want you
or
doing...
Or darn quick.
Okay, sorry. With my creek analogy earlier, I'm already in trouble. Mm. Anyway, I don't want my company that handles my firearms being called PDQ. If you want to get my parts to me, PDQ, like they used to do in the commercial, that's fine, but not my armor. I want to make sure you're taking your time, making sure you separate the blanks from the real ones.
Well, apparently they are being accused of providing bullets, both live rounds and and the dummy rounds.
Why would you have
and
live
mixing
rounds?
Them up?
Oh my goodness!
So I mean, wow. I don't know how that worked. This is a civil suit, but she's saying that they're responsible. And and she's suing, so we'll see how that goes. So we've had quite a few.
You even called that kind of a preemptive
strike. Yeah, for sure. I mean, but to protect herself, that's probably a smart thing, to do. So
okay.
Anyway, I think that's all of our entertainment news this morning.
There
was quite a few.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't know if this would be considered entertainment news or not. Bill Gates is opening his trap again.
Wow.
I'm sorry. He has just really annoyed me through this whole COVID thing.
Right. And then you find out he's got a girl that he gets to see once a year.
Right.
He saves up all his Bitcoin to spend on that one weekend with his old girlfriend.
Hey, look, now his ex-wife has all half of his money. Bill Gates donated $1.75 billion to the COVID-19 vaccine development.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this week that while the currently available vaccine prevents severe illness and death, they aren't durable enough. And he thinks they should be better at preventing the infection altogether.
Hmm.
The Microsoft founder, whose net worth is pegged at $135.9 billion,
oh my gosh, that's just unbelievable,
made the comments in a Twitter discussion. Says the vaccines we have prevent severe disease and death very well, but they are missing two key things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they still allow breakthrough.
Right.
And the duration appears to be limited.
Mm-hmm.
We need vaccines that prevent reinfection and have many years of duration.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. In a recent Copenhagen study, it found that the rapid spread of Omicron which is now responsible for 98.3% of new cases in the U.S.
That's crazy.
Is likely due to its ability to better evade immunity offered by vaccines and prior infections.
Interesting.
So it's figured a way.
Right.
To, I mean, these viruses are unbelievable.
They are. They truly are.
And so he says once the Omicron goes through the county, the country, then the rest of the year we should see far fewer cases. It would be treated more like the seasonal flu, he said in the interview. And look, I don't want to seem, I think we should be grateful that he contributed to that. I'm not saying that.
Yes.
It's just sometimes he says stuff that just makes you go, you're just a little too big for your britches, sir.
Right.
And there are some people that think that, you know, he wants to thin the herd in America. So I think that's
and
why
the
some,
world.
It's why some people are kind of
they have their
suspicious.
Their whole world agency kind of thing. I mean, he and his wife, I guess they're, I don't know how they're doing the Gates Foundation, how that works now with them.
But here's the thing. I don't know if you knew this or not. He did a TED Talk in 2015.
Oh, where he...
Do you ever watch TED Talks?
I have. Is this the one where he sort of explores the idea
he
of...
He warned in his TED Talk that a pandemic, if anything kills over 10 million people over the next few decades, it's going to be a virus, not a war.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah,
he's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Remember that movie clip we played from a movie from 2004, and they actually mention COVID. The movie was done. It was about one of these
viruses. Was it called COVID?
No, I don't think.
I mean, did they refer to COVID?
I think they referred to it as COVID in the movie. I'm pretty sure.
I remember there was
they
one
might
about
have said
a,
Corona,
a pandemic.
Yeah.
I knew that. I didn't know they specifically said that. I know it was talked about in like Law and Order and a Law and Order episode in the '90s.
Yeah.
They were talking about COVID.
But interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Interesting stuff. Well, we do have some snow coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it?
As ready as I think I'm gonna be. I mean, when my in-laws are in town, there's plenty of food in the refrigerator. I mean, I'm talking about you open the door and you go, oh, my God, it's going to fall out. There's so much food.
And I organized my pantry yesterday, which we all know makes me happy.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing.
I think we're ready as far as food goes. I mean, even if the, you know, I have the fireplace I can use now. So even if the power went out, we could stay warm in a portion of the house anyways. So, you know, we're good there. So I guess as much as you can say, we're going to be ready. Matt Ferguson has agreed to talk to us tomorrow. We'll figure out what time and everything. So he'll give us his take on this storm. You know, you mentioned earlier, and we're going to go into the break now, but that it could be slushy by the end of the day on Sunday, which could maybe turn icy.
It could turn into a wintry mix.
I do not like that.
I don't like it either. Here's my question for you, though. Have you figured out how to get your truck not in your driveway?
I am not
so
parking
that you
in
can
the driveway.
Get to it.
I am walking down. Even though my yard is on a hill, you sink into the ground. You sink into the grass and the snow.
You know what you need? You need like a little piece of cardboard that you can
just slide
all the way down to your truck.
Sounds dangerous.
It does.
Hungry for some truth with a side of common sense?
You want answers?
Then you found the right choice. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Do you remember?
I do remember. I absolutely remember.
7:24. We remember September. Temperatures were a lot nicer.
Mm-hmm.
But It's going to be a cold weekend.
It's going to be a very cold weekend.
Cold and snowy, and who knows what else is coming.
And be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Don't go out and like hoard everything.
Right. Well, that's part of the problem. That's why you have shortages. People just like, my gosh, we'll never be able to get to the store again.
Ever.
Let's buy that second box of instant rice to go with our beans.
That's the thing that cracks me up. How come when we get snow, all of a sudden people think they're gonna have to live on rice, beans, and, you know, Spam?
And don't forget milk and bread. They seem to go too.
It's going
to
be okay. Yeah. What are they doing with that?
Yeah. And if you're getting that certain kind of bread at Kroger or cupcakes, it could be metal shavings in it. What was the brand? Nature's Brand
Country,
or something?
Country something.
Yeah.
But you definitely need to be looking, making sure. I did put a link
on our Facebook page
okay. So that you can see if you have those products. You just need to get rid of them. Country Oven is okay. What the name of the brand
Hey, just let
was.
Me mention here our SoundCloud page. You don't have to have the SoundCloud app. It makes it a whole lot easier if you do. I had a listener asking Janet yesterday for a copy of the show, and you can literally type in or have a link sent to you from us or whatever, and you can actually stream it through your browser. It's just a lot easier if you have the SoundCloud app. It's a nice app. It's easy to work with on your phone. If you're doing this on your computer, you can just simply go to SoundCloud and start typing in The Morning Jam on VTRN. If you start putting the date in there, like 1-13, you'll get today's show. You'll get Janet's Five and Dine. They're all up on our SoundCloud page. If you wanted to catch that recipe again and or our interviews, we even put Salty up there. People were asking, I miss Salty. He was on the show yesterday.
Oh, that's right, because he was scammed.
He was scammed.
Or was he?
I don't know.
He was so confused.
He was.
I think he was drinking early. I don't know.
could be.
So follow up on the Loudoun County situation.
Yes.
You remember we talked about the 15-year-old boy convicted of not one but two sexual assaults.
Yeah.
Remember
him? They moved
him
to another school and he sexually attacked somebody there.
At two separate Loudoun County public schools. He has been sentenced. This is how he's been sentenced. He is sentenced to complete a residential program in a lockdown facility.
Really?
He will be on supervised probation until he's 18 years old. And he must also register as a sex offender in Virginia for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Now, is that just in Virginia? Can he move states and then not? He's not required to register as a sex offender?
Yeah, well,
that's a thing.
Yeah.
Loudoun County juvenile judge Pamela Brooks found him guilty on all four charges. During his sentencing hearing, the teen had to listen to both of his victims and their families read victim impact statements. He was wearing, it talks about what he wore, has his hair in a ponytail. He spent most of his time staring down at the top of the defense table. Both victims said their families and their families were in the courtroom. The 15-year-old boy's parents also attending the sentencing. He did start crying as he heard from the victims and their families.
Okay.
One victim took the stand and said, I believe you belong in a program that can help you. Mm-hmm. I met the other amazing girl. There is a third victim. I'm still here and I'm a better person. The second victim wrote, why me? Did I look like an easy target for you?
Oh, wow.
I thought of you as my friend.
Wow.
What you did to me will change me forever. Did I look like a girl who wouldn't say anything? I'm glad I spoke out.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
The judge who read the teen's psychology exam said, you scare me. What I read in those reports scared me, and it should scare families and scare society. You need help.
Wow.
The teen sentenced spoke to the two victims in court. I sincerely apologize to you. I know I've hurt some of the people in this courtroom, and they will be scarred for life. I would sincerely like to apologize to the court and families of the victims. I will take full advantage of the program. I don't want to hurt anyone again. I know what I did was wrong. I will never hurt anyone like this again. Now, it's interesting because during the during at least part of the testimony, he was making excuses, saying it was consensual, saying that he fell. Right. Remember when he said that? Yeah. I mean, he was really playing that up.
Yep.
Both parents of the two victims also spoke on the witness stand. Mm. I didn't come to play. That boy needed to know what he did wrong. I made sure I looked him dead in the eye, said Scott Smith. He's the father of one of the victims.
Wow.
The judge told the teen, as I mentioned, that he scared him. The judge did mention she was aware of the third victim. Mm-hmm. And Brooks also praised the victims for coming forward, calling them brave. Mm. So, I mean, I hope the young man can get help.
Yeah, yeah.
And I pray that other school districts are going to be paying attention to this.
Yeah.
Because you have made our children vulnerable with this nonsense.
Absolutely.
Catering to the fringe. Mm-hmm. And you have left them exposed to people who have problems.
Right.
I mean, this kid has a genuine problem, and they set a scenario. They created a perfect environment for him to prey on these girls.
Yeah.
Mm. This can't happen anymore.
No, it's got to be taken care of, and it's.
I mean, you want to create a separate bathroom,
right,
for these people to go to? Fine, but it's not fair to make other people vulnerable because you're trying to be relevant.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
All right, we have Kimberly McBroom on the way. She's going to give us our latest headlines for Lynchburg, Roanoke, and the South Side. And Trey is coming up.
Yep, Trey Watkins will be here with us in the next segment. Matt Ferguson has confirmed for tomorrow at 8:05, so you'll be able to hear from Matt. He'll give us his take on what the forecast looks like for the weekend.
Currently 37 degrees in Salem, 36 in Roanoke, 26 in Danville, 32 in Bedford, and 31 in Lynchburg.
Just when you thought it was safe to drive downtown again because there was no construction. Yeah, really. Drivers in downtown Lynchburg have to deal with some more construction activity starting this month on the 18th and continuing for about 4 weeks. The intersection of 8th and Commerce Street will be closed to allow for water, sewer, storm line installation. I know these are all important things, but everything's been tore up for so long down there. A detour will be in place for all motorists, including emergency vehicles. And then, in this article in WFXR, they give you a little bit of a schematic on how you can move things around. Also, the northbound lane of 7th Street will be shut down between Main and Commerce Streets as crews install conduits for new streetlights. Access to the businesses on the 700 block of Commerce Street will be maintained from the 5th Street, and access to parking lots on the 800 block of Commerce Street will be maintained from the 9th Street end of the block. It just sounds like it's a continued mess that continues.
Authorities are investigating after a Wednesday evening hit and run in Roanoke County left a man fighting for his life. Roanoke County Police Department says officers were called to Freeborn Circle. According to police, the victim was brought to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. The department did not share any additional information about this ongoing investigation into this hit and run.
Okay.
That's really, really tragic.
So Trey Watkins in the studio with us. He is he's going to comment on a couple things. I want to listen to some audio here. This is of Mitch McConnell yesterday. Pretty upset about things, Trey, about Joe's speech that he gave the other day. Joe served alongside of Mitch McConnell for the last 87 years in Congress, in the Senate specifically. Actually, you know, we joke about that, but they did serve alongside of each other for decades. So they've known each other for a long time. And this is Mitch McConnell's take on what happened in Georgia the other day.
Yesterday, that very same man delivered a deliberately divisive speech that was designed to pull our country further apart. 12 months ago, this president said we should see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. Yesterday, he called millions of Americans his domestic enemies. 12 months ago, the president called on Americans to join forces, stop the shouting, lower the temperature. But yesterday, he shouted that if you disagree with him, you're George Wallace. George Wallace. If you don't pass the laws he wants, you're Bull Connor. And if you oppose giving Democrats untrammeled one-party control of the country, well, you're Jefferson Davis. 12 months ago, this president said disagreement must not lead to disunion. Ah, but yesterday he invoked the bloody disunion of the Civil War, to demonize Americans who disagree with him. He compared, listen to this, a bipartisan majority of senators to literal traitors. How profoundly, profoundly unpresidential. Look, I've known, liked, and personally respected Joe Biden for many years. I did not recognize the man at the podium yesterday.
Did not recognize Joe Biden in Georgia. Not the guy he had served with in the Senate.
Well, I mean, we had a conversation with Dr. Bob Denton yesterday, and he was just, like, incredulous about it. What is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually disagree with one thing Mitch McConnell said. I actually think that Joe Biden is uniting the country, ironically. Because
against
if you
him.
Look at his poll numbers, right. This is the first time in a long time America has actually agreed on one thing. I'm still trying to find the 33% of Americans that approve of Joe Biden. I don't see how it's even possible.
Well, they're just like Jen. Jen, who was saying any criticism of his speech was just hilarious.
Yeah.
She just said, oh, it's just hilarious that they're criticizing him. What's hilarious about it?
The thing is, it is funny. It's so incompetent and bad that it is funny. But at the same time, it's not. It's not funny. You know, it's not a joke because he's, absolutely. You know, they...
But here's the thing that was so absurd about his speech.
Yeah.
And we talked about this yesterday. I mean, you know, do you want to be Martin Luther King or do you want to be George Wallace? George Wallace, who was a Democrat,
right.
Who was his friend,
right.
Who praised Joe Biden. Joe Biden praised him back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want to be Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican,
right?
Or do you want to be what was the other guy?
Jefferson Davis.
Jefferson Davis.
Yeah.
Or you know, Democrats.
Right.
Craziness.
I know. It's almost unbelievable. I actually, believe it or not, I turned on MSNBC because I'm like, I wonder what they're saying on this channel because
How are they spinning it?
Yeah. They weren't spinning it. That was what shocked me. The anchor was saying, you know, or the guest they had on said, oh, this is, they just, he's doing this speech simply because, you know, he has to, you know, make good on his promises. He promised that he would fight for this, but there's no way in hell that, you know, this is ever going to pass and that he has to go down there and do this. No one's going to support it. It has, you know,
Not even his own people are supporting it. So who is he checking a box for? Not Stacey Abrams, not for the NAACP. Right. They wouldn't even give him a photo op.
So I talked to Stacey Abrams yesterday. She said that she's actually terrified of clowns, and she heard the circus was in town. You know, the circus was coming in town, and she was like, I am getting the heck out of there. You know, I mean.
I was going to say, do you have her phone number?
Wow.
You know, but I mean, smart girl, smart woman.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
who would stand next to Joe Biden right now? Who wants anything to do with such a toxic administration?
Right.
I can't think of anybody with less credibility than those two than Fauci.
But it's they've learned nothing from what happened in the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing.
You know,
I mean, well, I think they have. They just don't have anything. I mean, everything that they ran on, they shoved into a Build Back Broke Better plan or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And
it's just
crazy. A massive failure. I'm not even sure because I'm not old enough to have been, and I'm still young. So I'm like, have we ever been in a place where you know, a political party has gotten to this point so early in their term where they've hit a wall where everything that they've tried to pass or looking to pass isn't going to pass? Where did it go from here? You know, like I'm
never in my lifetime have I ever witnessed it. I've never seen anything like it.
I thought that, but you know,
I don't remember Carter.
I do remember Carter. I'm around long enough. I will tell you this, that Jimmy Carter had this huge summit at Camp David one weekend, and he invited the media to come help him solve and find solutions to the country.
Wow.
Now, that's leading from behind.
Wow.
This was a, it was a big deal. And I, and I thought, that just, and I was young. I was, that just doesn't seem right to me, you know?
Right.
Why isn't the president? And I, you know, I was still learning about politics and stuff. But yeah, Jimmy Carter would be the closest, I think, to the ineptness of Joe Biden. But I think Joe's going to far surpass him for this reason. The technology that we have now, the access we have to information now was not, I mean, it wasn't even remotely close to what it is now versus back during Carter. So Carter may have been a far better president if he had access like we do now to try to, you know, have some spinmeisters and all that. Spinmeisters have been around forever.
Yeah.
But just not the way the media now dances with the politicians. It was just that dance was beginning in 1980 when Reagan became president.
Right.
Cable news came along at the time. It that changed the landscape. But Jimmy Carter was probably the closest. But Joe Biden, I mean, he's got everything, but he's not going to use it.
But he's making Jimmy Carter look brilliant.
He is making him look brilliant.
You know who else is making him look brilliant? Donald Trump. I'm serious.
Well,
I mean, he looks so bad, you know, especially when he's so insulting. And like you said, he has the media on his side.
Right.
And his approval numbers are this bad. And he has the media on his side. Imagine if the media actually, you know, treated him the same way they treated Donald Trump. What would his poll numbers be? And, you know, where would he, what would he do?
I saw a news package at the end of the year reflecting on last year. Okay, this happened in September or December. That's when they start these things. ABC did a package on Joe Biden, and you would have thought, this guy's the strongest. He might even be stronger than Putin.
Right.
They took all the best of Joe, and there's very little of it, and they used it for their news package. And I thought, you ass. I cannot believe you're really going this far. But they are. Because they have the buy-in.
But
they elevated this guy to be our president. And now they have to kind of figure out, we got to help him along because we're going to look like dummies.
Well, but there's no help. There's no help to be had.
Right, right.
Now, you mentioned Trump and how he's even making Trump look good.
Sure.
I'm curious what your thoughts are about this NPR interview that Trump did. He ended it abruptly. But he did an interview on Tuesday, and he was pressed on these claims of election fraud and that it was rigged against him. And he hung up 9 minutes into the into the interview. There were several lines of questioning related to the election fraud, and he's still sticking to that. Do you think that's smart of him to do that?
Well,
do you think it makes him look foolish? I think it makes him look really, it reminds me of the way Hillary acted when she lost to him.
Well, I think that you go a certain point where it's a point of no return. You know, I think he fought that so hard, I think it would be worse for him to say, nah, I lost fair and square. You know, I think if he was to pivot, it would look even worse because they would jump on him even harder.
I don't know that he needs to pivot. You know? He just needs to shut up.
Well, I think he needs to.
Well, I mean, if they're asking him about it, it's hard to not to answer.
A way to say to finesse it and say, look, you and I aren't going to agree on how the last election went. I believe there was fraud. We're done on that topic.
But I believe that he believes
that. I think
he can
finesse
it.
He does.
I believe that Donald Trump believes he won.
And he brought it up in the interview. Okay. He's the one that keeps talking about it.
Right.
I just think there are other things that he could talk about.
Absolutely.
And he's never been good at letting somebody else fight his battles. Mm-hmm. There are times when you need to be still.
Right.
And if that line of talk continues, let it continue with other people.
Yeah.
Right.
And he just can't seem to do that.
His first, if you go back, I'm sorry, this is my last thing here. If you go back and listen to his first, what's the speech they give about this time of year? The State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
The media was actually giving him some pretty good points.
Mm-hmm.
Within 24 hours, he puts out some silly ass tweet and ruins the press that he was getting.
And then we would
from the liberal media, too?
Yeah. I mean, even the liberal media said that was a good speech.
Yeah.
But then he tweets something just off the wall, and he's ruined the cycle.
And I don't understand why he can't. He's a smart man.
Yeah, why can't you enjoy
it?
I think he'll never be exactly who we want to be.
We
got to take the good with the bad.
Right.
But I think in order for him to run in 2024, he has to be right about the election in 2020.
Yeah.
I think that if he can't prove or somehow convince or spin the narrative that he actually won the election or cast a lot of doubt on voters, then I think it's going to be hard for him to be able to run in 2024. And I think people would prefer someone like DeSantis or...
Yeah, I don't want him to run in 2024.
You know, Noam or... There's a lot of really good Republican candidates. And I think if Youngkin crushes it in the next a few years,
yeah.
He could be a good candidate.
At some point,
So it's almost... I think he sees the writing on the wall. And so I think his only chance is to just... push that narrative as much as he can and hope for the best. And hopefully, you know, in his mind, he's like, man, if I can somehow pull this off, then I'll be able to run in 2024. But I think by then we'll be so sick and tired of the chaos and of the Trump years and the Biden year combined with the Biden years that people are going to want someone who's just been proven to be, you know,
sane.
And not the fake sanity, you know, not the fake sanity that people were sold on Joe Biden.
I know,
you know.
I have to laugh.
Okay.
Is there any sanity up there in D.C.?
I don't know. We'll be back. We got to go to break, but we will be back. Randy says, at least we had peanuts with Carter.
Well, this is true. 7:49. Trey, you can hang around for another segment with us.
Of course.
Trey Watkins in the studio with us. We do it most Thursdays here on the Morning Jam.
Turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Wouldn't it be insane of you to run for office again?
is she sitting across from me right now?
Well, I don't know why that's funny. I mean, did you have any in-person briefings? I don't find it funny at all.
How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein?
That is great to have you here.
All right, I'm going to tell you how you really get that.
Oh, we got more of that coming, maybe.
Oh, I hope not.
How much would you pay to see Hillary and Donald on a...
I think she and Kamala could have a cackle off. I mean,
it's so me in there.
Which one would be on the Arthur Richter scale? I don't know. I cannot believe that these rumors are there that she might be coming back to run.
I mean, but it speaks to where they are. What direction are they going to go in? I think the progressives are dead. I mean, they're dead in the water. Where are they going to go? From here, they're... what agenda do they have left on the progressives?
Right.
Everything else has flopped. 2022, you know, I think Republicans are going to sweep. I mean, and they'll have
especially
control.
Especially if JoJo keeps going around doing his little speeches.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
That's for sure.
I'm like, please, keep the circus up.
So you're running for Congress this year, and you want the president to come and speak in your district.
No!
Right.
Please, no!
There'll be no-shows everywhere.
All right. I want to ask you about a webinar that took place in Roanoke this week. The organization Points for Diversity and Standing for Equity in the Roanoke Valley hosted a webinar that they called Just the Facts. Mm. It was about critical race theory. And they said that the goal was to clear the air about misconceptions that people have about critical race theory. And they say that a critical race theory is just a framework that involves deconstructing aspects of society to discover systemic racism beneath the surface. And they say it's not intended to change the way the history books are what they're saying, mm-hmm. but expanding on the wording to include historical facts that have been left out.
I wish that's what it was.
Right. Because it sounds good. That sounds like something we could all get behind.
Yeah. Or the problem with critical race theory is the semantics. You know, the media and everyone defended it and everyone against it. We get into this word salad where we get confused. So critical race theory is this, law school course type college course, but you know, we've lumped everything into that same term. So when it's being implemented in schools and elementary schools and, mm-hmm. you know, K through 12, we're calling it critical race theory, but that's technically not what it is, but that's basically what it is. They've just, because you have to adjust that content to fit K through 12, because you can't teach what you would teach in college, what you would teach to a 21-year-old that you would teach to an 8-year-old, right. for example. So the way that it's implemented into the schools is not what that person is saying. And I think that's the problem. I think to a college, an adult, if you want to take a critical race theory and learn about these things that you may or may not agree with, it's almost like taking like a philosophy class or something, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Albeit, but when you're teaching kids about critical race theory, they're putting it in such a way where you have to demonize white people. Mm-hmm. You have to teach white kids that they're supremacists and,
right.
And that black kids are victims, which is literally the worst thing that you can do to African-American kids right now is mm-hmm. to teach them to be victims and that the system is against them. Teach them hopelessness. It is the worst thing ever. I'm strongly against it.
And to give them an excuse not succeed. Why would you do that?
During my lifetime, it's been part of our culture. And just how the mentality
fostered
is.
Within the culture.
Yeah, exactly. It's not naturally there. It's been there, honestly, I think since the welfare system sort of started in the 60s. And it's been this woe is me, everything is against me. But even like during Obama years, it's like it's yes I can, not yes I can't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I didn't agree with Obama, but at least he was hopeful and saying mm-hmm. like, yeah, we can do this.
Right.
You know, not only just as black people, but as a people in general.
Right.
Nothing about this whole critical race theory movement makes sense, and it is flat out racist.
And look,
equity
is racist. I do agree that we do need to expand accurate history. I do think that's true. Yeah. I don't think simply saying Jamestown was a diverse community is accurate.
Right.
You know, I mean, they need to understand why it was diverse and how that came to be. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I also think that black children need to understand that black people have been here since the very beginning of America, and they weren't here as slaves necessarily.
I agree with that.
They were right alongside George Washington. Yes. They were right alongside.
Yes.
Why aren't we telling that story too?
Thank you. There's so many other examples that I can think of free. You can go to Farmville. You know, there were freed Africans who sold property to white people in the 1700s.
Right, I mean, exactly.
There's so many examples.
That needs to be included as well.
But the only thing that we hear about is, black people slaves.
Right, you know. Yeah.
Trey Watkins with us. Thanks, Trey, for being with us.
Absolutely.
We look forward to next week.
Love it.
CBS News is coming up next. You can always catch all of Trey's interview on our SoundCloud page, The Morning Jam on VTRN.
You're listening to the Virginia Talk Radio Network, 100.9.